Hello, this is Nils from Joker Clone Course. Happy that you joined me today. I would like to talk about five things many self-producing artists getting wrong, especially when they start their journey. It is easy to say, make that, do it like that way, but that's not always the thing how it works, because you don't like that if someone else telling you that, or you want to do it your own way. But that comes from my own experience, because I don't like to do the things the way others say to me. I have to do that because that's the way it works, because I just want to do my own thing. But that also comes not just from my experience, so also from talking to other artists. And of course, I see that in discussions in social media or in communities. So if you are in the beginning at your self-producing journey, then look at these 5 points I will tell you today. So let's start with the first false statement, and this is buying pricey hardware will improve your production. It is nice to compare and see expensive shiny hardware. I like that as well, and I bought many things and I sold many things, and that works for audio gear. That statement works on audio gear like outboard hardware, compressor, interface, microphones, or instruments. So it doesn't matter. It's all about those kind of music creation hardware. And when you're in that way that you say, I just need that, and then I can do whatever. I believe, I know that from my own side, you are at 99% wrong. Yes, you need some things to start on specific tasks, but you probably can do that already with all the things you already have in your arsenal. Maybe not in the same way, but you will reach the most of the time the same what you would like to achieve. And the higher priced hardware will not change that. I will tell you what will change that. The first one is invest more time in your skill set. That is the most important thing you can do. Work with that hardware, that gear that you have, if it is functional, and work on your skills to use that. Next is, if you want to invest money, then invest into yourself, learning through books, learning through an online course, or even get an impersonal teaching with a mentor. And investing money in a learning resource or in more resources is the best way you can do beside to train your own skills. And if you want or need to invest money, then don't invest that in the pricey high-end hardware. Invest at first in your room, in your production environment, and then at best in your monitoring situation. That's the best you can do. The monitoring situation is the most critical part of the whole chain, because if you can't if you can't judge what it's going in the microphone and what comes out, it doesn't matter how good your performance is, how good the microphone is, how good the sound source is, what kind of DAW you use, or it doesn't matter. Or if you can't judge what you are hearing, then it's priceless. So invest in your room, invest in a monitoring situation. And if these both points are fine, if you think, yeah, my room is great, I feel very comfortable, and my monitoring situation is the best I can have for the budget that I'm able to invest, then again, invest in learning. That's the best thing you can do. Let's come to the second false statement, and that is, plugins will overcome your production weakness. It is a bit the same as with the hardware gear. but you can get many plugins for free and use a lot of time finding the next better thing. So it is very easy to fail into the trap of a plugin universe, and there are weekly released a new plugin with more and better analog feeling or the newest AI technology that needs less and less work from you to do. But it takes time to compare that all, and I believe that you can do very well most of the parts with the things you already have with your DAW, or even if you have just some sets of plugins, you probably have that already in your arsenal. This is the first thing. You have already all the things you need in your DAW if you have a proper DAW. And before you look for the next better or best plugin, check what you can do to learn how to record better. Because if you record better, then you need less plugin processing. The next thing is learn better to play. If you know to record, then play better and record a better performance, then you need less processing or editing or fixing inside the mix. So this will help you before you even just need to invest in new analog plugins or something like that. And always learn the things you already have, and altogether you will need less plugin processing. You have more time on the very critical part, on the listening part, on the part to be creative in the mixing stage. So this is the best you can do to avoid to get the next best plugin, the next best plugin. And I have another example for the fourth statement, number two, and this is the de-esser. Let's talk about de-essing. Your de-esser from the DAW don't work as you like. And you think now, oh, should I get a better de-esser? Before you look for a better de-esser, check, do you have the right microphone for your voice? Have you other microphones in your arsenal that works better for the singing part on that you don't need to have or to use a de-esser at all? Check the placement of the microphone. Do you use it in the right way to reduce the sharp S's while you're recording? So if you don't recording the sharp S, you don't need to work that with the de-esser out. Also, what can you improve is your singing technique, that you get that you don't sing with that sharp S's. Altogether, we create that you might even don't need a new de-esser, and or that you use that one from your DAW that could already work then. And if that's the case, that in that end you use another or the best microphone for that task, you check the placement, you work on your singing technique, and then the de-esser from your DAW doesn't work, then you can look for the newest AI powered de-esser. If all other things fail, then you can look what can the job makes easier, faster, to avoid sitting an hour to fix the sharp S's. We come to fourth statement number three. This is become a self-producing artist overnight. Because learning the basics, doing the recording part, the whole editing, the mixing, the mastering, all of that took time to learn and to create the best you can do from your resources. You need to create experience, and you will do crazy bad mixes. This is the way, and that's totally fine. The problem will be if you get unsatisfied with your first results and hope for a better come out. So when this happens, is you give yourself not enough time to evolve. And it's clear you want to do all what you are doing at best. You want to do the best writing, the best recording, and at best you don't have to edit something, The mix should flow like the recording, and that's probably not the reality in the beginning. And you probably don't like your first results, and that's completely natural. When you're happy with your results and then try to compare them to your favorite songs you heard from your last favorite band or from other top engineers, you get sad because the thing where you thought that's great isn't that great. And the tip for that false statement is don't compare yourself with someone who is miles ahead of time and experience, like the top engineers that you like to listen to the mixes, or to other self-producing authors that do that for 5 or even 10 years. So don't compare that when you start. Also, don't compare yourself to someone who just do one thing so fabulous, like a mixing engineer or a mastering engineer or someone who just added vocals, who's the king of using Melodyne plugin and tune and pitch the vocals in so fast and so great that you don't realize how he's doing that. There are people that do just one thing fabulous, but that's are not the group you should compare yourself, because you do something completely different. You are a self-producing artist or engineer, or how you would like to call it. And give yourself time. That sounds so easy and it's so hard to believe. I always would say check your results with your expectations and set your expectation to a realistic outcome. You want to record your own music. You want to produce it at best you can. When you start, it probably won't be the best, but you can create the best for your knowledge at the time where you start. And then you evolve from time to time, and then you will get there to the level you want to bring your music. Of course, and that's totally doable, but it will take time, learning and experience. Let's come to the next, and that's the fourth statement, number 4. I write, record, and mix in one go. You need to hear your songs from 2 points. You are the artist, the songwriter, and you will be the engineer. And this is a really complex situation that you might not know or understand in the beginning of your self-producing journey. But when you sit there and have to change the role and you understand what you're doing, then this will help. Because when you are writing a song, you are the artist. When you come to the recording part, you still be the artist because you have to perform, but there's still a bit of the engineer inside that set up the vocal, set up the whole record, set up the microphone, set up the whole recording chain, do the leveling, do the routing inside the DAW. So there comes the second role up to the first one. And then when you finish the recording, you be the engineer who is editing the whole thing. And when it comes to the mixing part, there's the engineer, the main role, but the artist sit beside you and check again in the mix, will the song come out as the artist, when you write the song, thought about. So artist and engineer needs sometimes to take action or make decisions that are not going hand in hand. As an example, deleting a record part that won't fit to the mix and helps the song, then it is better to delete that part than to keep that. The artist maybe say, no, that's great, I have written that, that was my idea. And the engineer in you said, no, that's too much. We don't need that for the final result. So you have to understand these loads. And if you don't do that, you will lose time. You will going back and forth, and that will make the that will happen in wrong decisions if you can't separate yourself from inside these roles. So you have to listen to your song in a different way as an artist and as an engineer. When you create it, you are the artist. And when it comes to the engineering part, you are the engineer. Without to separate these roles, you will lose time. You go back, you go forth, you come from inside the mixing, you go back to the writing and change that, you re-record, and that will blow up the whole concept what you have created in the writing, going step by step. So without understanding those rules, you will make wrong decisions. One step to go into that separate role is to split the task on different days. So do the writing on one day, do the recording the other day, and then do the editing the other day, do the mix the other day. Then you can concentrate on your roles when you come to your music place, to your music room. Then you can say, okay, I'm now the artist who wants to perform the song, wants to interpret what the writer does, and do that. And next day you come in and say, okay, now I have fresh ear, clear view. I edit all the things what doesn't work well in the recording, and then do the mixing. And then when you listen again, you can listen as the mixing engineer and you can listen as the artist. Be at one day the artist and at the other the engineer. That's my tip for you. Hey, we get back to the episode in a short moment. Just some side information. I've created a nice and helpful guide if you want to know how you can produce your music at best. This is an ebook called Producing Yourself in Music, Yes or No. It answers all the questions, shows you different ways to reach the production goal whenever you decide for a production service or do it yourself or even by going in between. You will find that ebook at jokertonecourse.com/producing-yourself. Now back to the episode. Let us come to the last false statement, and this is I can do everything alone. If you decide to do the self-producing route, you need to understand that all the things, all the work you have to do takes time. And you need that time from other things, like only the writing, the rehearsal, the promotion, the live playing. So where you have to take the whole production, recording, editing, mixing, mastering, listen back, correction, that all needs time. You have to decide where you take that time from. You have the writing, you have the producing, you have the rehearsal. If you want to play live, you need to do the promotion, you need to make the booking, you need to go on stage to play live. So you can think about that. What can other people do for me? What brings you time back? You are the self-producing artist, so you need to write. And it's probably not the best thing to cut time from there, because sometimes you need more time to write, sometimes less. Sometimes a song goes from one note to the last in 1 hour, and sometimes it took days or even weeks. So it's hard to determine there to take time from that. If you want to go play your songs live on stage, you need to rehearse if you want to play gigs. And it's so cutting time there is also not the best idea. So with both, you can't win time. You can only get that time from when you optimize those both. But it's hard to... You can rehearse less if you are get better in playing new songs, okay? But you create new songs, and so you need more time to rehearse them. So that's not the bad thing I would say you should do. The best is let others do the promotion so that you don't need to have the full time of the promotion. Maybe just some parts of the promotion. And of course, let others do the booking for you. This is a big part because that needs time and needs to have, you need to have contact to the local gigging scene. And so if others can do that for you, that's the best. And of course, you can say, I will play less gigs only if they are not worth the time and money you get. I don't want to bring all that to the topic of the money, because if you play a gig where you may not get the best money to play, but the audience is the right audience where you can sell your CDs or merchandise or get a new audience, then I wouldn't cut there to get time for the production. But that's up to you. But think about where you can get time from if you want to do the self-producing. So the conclusion is pricey hardware versus the investment in yourself. And I always would recommend do the investment in yourself as possible. Plugins versus better recording. Better recording wins here all the time. Fast results versus taking the time. Take your time to evolve. Take your time to making mistakes and then learn from that and then make it better. Then just rush through it and release that where you may think just some months later, oh, what's that? That's not good. Or that you just even stop producing. That's the worst case. Then in one go versus understanding the roads. If you understand the roads, if you can feel the roads, and if you know how you look or how you hear in an analytic way as an engineer, and that you can be very creative in the artist part, then you have a big step forward in your production and you will save time and you will produce better, of course. And the last thing is do all alone versus outsourcing tasks. If that possible, maybe you have friends that can help you. Maybe you have a bit of a budget for that, for the booking part, or play only the gigs that are really important to you from an artist view or from the money view. So I hope you get something out from these five thought statements, that you can produce better, that you learn more, and that the whole production process has more fun and a better outcome for you. So thanks for watching. I hope you're back in the next episode. Stay tuned and bye-bye.